This is KCBX, Central Coast Public Radio, here on NPR One.
I'm Christophe Modette, the Executive Assistant Manager here at the Intercontinental Bora Bora Resort and Thalasso Spa. I'm working at this property for the last 11 years.
That's a long time in the hotel industry.
It is. When I arrived in Bora Bora, I used to live in Paris and Dublin, Ireland. And I wanted to see how you make a hotel run in the middle of nowhere on the island. So I apply in different area and I found a job over here. So coming from 10 million people city, 2 million and then 10,000. I arrived for the experience, to be honest. I wanted to hear the rain and I felt in love with the country and the people. Because that's really a big difference for me, is this family spirit and the warmth of the Polynesian that we find here. That's something that keeps me here.
You grew up in Paris?
Born on the west coast of France.
Okay.
And I lived in Paris then. When I turned 23, I went to Dublin. I stayed 3 years.
Did you go to hotel school?
Nope, at all. In France, I used to work in a construction firm. I was a financial controller. And get bored in behind a desk, behind an office. Even if I had a great situation, was not my thing. I think I knew I needed to be around people and to take care of people. And hospitality, I think, was something natural for me. So when I was in Dublin in Ireland, I basically learned from the bottom. So start as a night porter and then grew up night manager and guest relation manager. Mm-hmm. When I arrived in Tahiti, night manager, and then I grew up where I am now, executive assistant manager.
So this is your comfort zone? You like this?
Yeah. It's important to find a good balance.
The number one reward, what makes your job rewarding?
Basically make people having the once-in-a-lifetime trip coming through, having them coming with a lot of expectation, and at the end of the day, meeting with them and finding out that we achieved that. But basically, the trip was a success, and they are going home with a lot of memories to share with their family, friends, and for themselves as well. So it's the most rewarding. Having the smile of people, it's that they are working here, or travelers, it's nothing you can do better.
What's your biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge will be getting goods over here. We are reliable on the transportation of everything we order. So except local food that basically easy to find. We have the fishermen coming every morning to bring us the fresh food they just caught.
What local basic ingredients, produce, greens and stuff, can you source locally?
So except fish, everything coming from the sea.
Sure.
We have usually fruits. That's the biggest food that we can get supply. Coconut, pineapple, mango.
Not so much greens.
Not much, a little bit. There are an island in Raiatea where they do have a little farms, but to get enough supplies, it's a little challenging because the land is not big enough to do like growing big farms around. Most of the ingredients will be either fruits or fish. Then we import a lot.
When you import, it doesn't matter from where because your criterion really is the best, right?
Yeah. For example, meat will be coming from New Zealand because they are very well known for the premium meat that they are allowed to export, because they will only export premium quality. But as well, from depends of where the food that we require, it will be from. We are open to a lot of places. From them, and the quality is the top.
Continuing on the thread of cuisine, you have an executive chef.
Correct.
Chef de Parte. Tell us about that makeup and where they are from and
so
how they trained.
Oh, actually, executive chef is coming from Paris. He's born over there, used to travel around the world. Therefore, him, the goal is to try, and that's a few projects that we have on the pipeline for this property, is to try to find as much local product as we can. So one of our projects that we are currently working on is 40,000 square feet of land in the back of the hotel that's still inside of the property of the hotel that we are going to basically work on to have our own grocery garden for all the local products we can make on our own. The idea there is to bring local products for the guests and to reduce our impact on our carbon footprint for the property. So we will not be able to be self-sufficient. regarding the capacity of the hotel will be way too much.
Right, but going in that direction.
But going to that direction. And as well, to be able to educate our team as well to do the same at home. So the idea is, once they are going to see that you can do it, is the idea. Chef is going on a regular basis to the local school to show to the kids.
So it could be a model for kids.
Correct.
Future career. Right?
Yeah, we are doing a lot, like for waste management. We are training our team, and we find out one of the events that we are doing for the staff, like, you know, little sport competition and things like that, that we had a baby from one of the staff member. He had his diaper, and he's going to put himself the diaper into the garbage, and he's looking in front of the green bin and the gray bin, and he's looking at his mommy. He's like, "Mommy, this one is going to the gray garbage." And we're like, "Already that you have to sort it out." And it's just the way that if we start to educate the kids, educating an adult takes time, and you know we all have our own habits. But if we start with the kids, it's something that we can work for the next generations.
Talk to us a little bit more about engagement with the community. With the families, of the employees even.
We are, at the moment, this property, we strive to keep having over 75% of locals. So today, 76% as of today, our staff members are local from Bora Bora, the next little islands. Basically, hotels in Bora Bora is the main economic revenue for the island itself. So we, of course, have our employees here, but hotels are making all the local economy working around us with all the guests we welcome through different activities guests can do, the little shoppy, artisana, and things that are on the island. It's indirect jobs that hotels are creating here. And it's very important for us to keep it that way because the impact on the community is very important. It's a support for making sure most of people will get a job, will be able to feed the family, will be able to work around what they do in their life to support the family. So it's very important. The chef is going to the school on a regular basis to teach the kid. We have our sustainability manager, going there as well to teach the kids how to plant and make growing vegetables and fruits. And we have a partnership with the local high school for that. So on the regular basis, we are going to see how they are doing, and we are bringing them more tools and knowledge about it. She's going as well to the little school to teach them about the impact on consumption, such as plastic and things. Tell them that, okay, you want to purchase things, but try to find as much as local as you can do. That will make your friends, cousins, and family be working, giving them job, and at the same time talking about waste as well, that it's important to recycle.
That's really cool. That's a win-win for sure.
It's a win-win, and yeah. It's the impact that they will have on the... Because if we teach today the kids, I have two kids myself, but if we teach the kids to do it, they are our future employees. So if we start to teach them things, we know that when they will be on the work market.
Is this something that's been going on long enough that you can see results and you can see progress and evolution?
Yes, because after being here for 11 years myself,
how is it? What's changed?
Few of the kids are now old enough to get, you know, the training stage, and we start to have few of these kids that I know because they are. Maybe the kids from my employees that I saw very, very little, and now they are grown up and they are in high school, and you know they need to do like 3-4 months training for the school. And we see them at work, and the motivation and the spirit that they got is totally into that spirit of sustainability that we want to create with the community. So it's great to see that.
For a kid that grows up on Bora Bora, is a hotel job one of the best coveted jobs that you could get?
Yeah. In Bora Bora, it's
probably the benefits too, right?
The benefits and as well the environment that we are living in. I mean, as an expat myself, even if I'm here for long enough to think I'm a Indonesian myself in my heart, but having the kids growing here, it's very laid back. So there is challenges that we can get regarding the level of school, of course, because it's one of the situation that we can get in terms of mathematics or science, you know, these kind of topics. There is no issue with security, very safe with the kids. The kids, the Polynesian, we usually say that Tahiti, French Polynesia, the country where the kids are the kings. They do whatever they want. The Polynesian give them everything they want.
Not bad, huh?
No, and I mean, Mike, he loves to go to the beach to play to the sea, and it's funny because when you put them in the water, they will spend all day long in the water, and it's very safe because usually the shore is very shallow water, so you go to the beach and you know they are going to have fun, and you feel safe as well on a lot of things. So it's
shallow enough you could almost walk across from the motu to the island of Borneo.
Nearly, yeah. At least for the hotel itself, halfway through you can walk.
That's incredible.
And the colors are, of course. Cannot talk about this different shade of blue and green. You have to see it for yourself.
This is a 5-star resort.
Correct.
That's exceptional. There aren't that many 5-star resorts in the world. So what makes it distinctive?
So here we have, of course, the size and the layout and the design of our different bungalows. We have 84 bungalows, including 4 suites that over 3,000 feet, 3,645 exactly square feet, so it's quite a large unit. The design and the materials are chosen to be very modern design, but local style as well. That's why a lot of walls will be made of dead coral or the pandan leaf trees for the roof, so we want to really to keep that traditional spirit and design, but being very modern at the same time and very luxurious. It's very important. We have, of course, the view of the mountain from the hotel. That's just stunning.
Like I said, I've been coming since 1995, and I can't tell you how many hours I just sat out on my overwater bungalow staring at that volcanic peak. This has to be the front row center location on all around Bora Bora.
All Bora Bora. The shape is unique.
Down at the other intercontinental, you can see it from here.
But not the same perspective.
It's an entirely different mountain. It's still beautiful.
Yeah, but this spike.
This is valley high.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Wow.
It's that's through the design, effectively, that we want to show this luxury stay that the guests can enjoy. But what's important for, you can find a lot of great hotels. What's going to make the difference is the staff. Mm-hmm. Because having 75% of locals makes you encounter locals all the time. And if you want to discover a lot about French Polynesia and the location you are going to travel, they are the best ambassador for your hotel and for the culture. They are the one that's going to teach you near the beach how to make your own palm tree leaves at, or to make a coconut dish. They are the one that's going to share their culture. I can do it because I have the passion of it, but it will not have the same impact that if you meet a Polynesian who will do it as well. We want to bring luxury, but as a like a family style. You feel at home with this luxury environment, luxury service that we provide, but we want you to feel relaxed. We really want to take a step back.
One more. I know you know. You've got to know. You've been here long enough. How blessed you are.
I do every morning.
Because you have employees that intrinsically, because of their culture, are natural hospitality people. You know, that's within their soul.
It's in the DNA.
So your only job is just to teach those fine nuances of service.
Yes, absolutely. And train them. Mm-hmm. And they love to learn.
We've both been to places in the world where you can't teach that magical part.
Absolutely.
Either they have it or they don't.
Yes, and here we are lucky because they have it.
And so bottom line, you know you're spoiled and
loved. Oh, of course, I do. I do every morning. You know, sometimes when I wake up at home and in the bedroom and I'm just like, oh, I wish to go to the cinema, or I wish to go to shop a little bit of shopping, or doing to a museum or thing like this. And you think of there is nothing like that in Bora Bora. And you just open your windows and you just stare at what's outside and you feel blessed by the location, and you're like, at the same time, if I was in Paris again, I love the city, love this area of the world, of course, just because I'm from there, but just because it's a great city. But when I used to work over there, it took me 45 minutes to an hour to go to work, and the same in the morning and the same in the afternoon. And it's like, here it takes me 30 seconds to go home, to go to work. It takes 15 minutes to bring the school at school. So it's feeling blessed that the quality of life is going to have an impact, and locals here, it's so natural for them to welcome you, to bring them you in your family. When I arrived 11 years ago in Bora Bora, I was invited to a few, like a anniversary, birthday, and party around to be integrated into the local culture. And they welcome you. They don't bring any food. No, just come like just yourself. You know, it's natural. It's not because I was going to be the boss, but it's really something natural for them. And they do the same with the tourism. We have a girl working in the restaurant. She has a very nice flowers and layout. Half of the time she's giving it to a guest before she goes home because the guest says, oh, I like this. Oh, madame, take it. You know, you don't have to ask them to do this kind of stuff. They do it naturally. And, right. And that makes a huge impact on make my life easy, to be honest, in terms of as a manager. Challenges will be different. Sometimes, effectively, you want to, okay, you can be nice with the guests, but not too much, not in a bad way, you know. It's just they give. It's just to bring the balance. Okay, you can be nice with the guests, but not too familiar neither. Some of the guests don't like that. So you need to find, effectively, where you can do it and where you need to stop.
It's interesting, isn't it? Kind of reading the guest.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's what is interesting in the job. I mean, we do hospitality because we love it. If you don't like to welcome people and to take care of people, you have to change of job. Here the team is doing it because they like it. And I mean, the hotel is 14 years old. Mm-hmm. And we have about 20% of the staff who are working at this property for that long.
Wow. Yeah. One thing we haven't really talked about is the amenities, the basic infrastructure of what is here for the guests to experience.
We have 84 overwater bungalows, nothing on the land, everything is over the water because it's the overwater villas and bungalows were created in French Polynesia. So we want to bring that experience to the guest. Around that, we are going to have, of course, our intercontinental concierge team with our golden keys, Les Clés d'Or, Sophie, our head concierge. So it's a distinction that the quality of concierge we want to provide. And guests will be able to experience a three bar and restaurant at the resort, a casual restaurant and bar open all day long with a kitchen show. We have then the Reef restaurant that's going to be like a Paris bistro, a little luxurious, not fine dining, but a little upper quality, with little ingredients that we incorporate in French cuisine. And then we have Le Corail, which is your fine dining. We open that restaurant only at dinner time, and it's really rocking around really, really fine dining. So really, like, you can find seven dishes tasting menus. And then you have the Bubbles Bar, which is our afternoon bar, for happy hour and a little like lounge area for the evening. And then we have on the beach the South Beach Bar, which is a little ice cream bar. When it's hot like today, you want something, a fresh drink or fresh ice cream, and we make our ice cream on made.
You have a spa.
We have a Thalasso Spa. So we are actually the only and unique Thalasso Center in the entire Pacific.
Oh, wow.
So a Thalasso is a concept that's born in French Brittany, in France, on the west coast. Where basically, if you go to a center like that in France, you will have kinesiotherapists, doctors, and nutritionists who will be looking after your body.
Wow, literally holistic.
Absolutely, everything through the seawater. So the idea is if you have a bad injury on the leg, you know, and you want to learn to walk again, mm-hmm. they use these bars that you have to walk on it, and it's very painful. Kinesiotherapists find out that if you do the same exercise into a pull punch, what's going to happen is you are not going to put pressure on your muscles, so it's going to be less painful. And at the same time, the water is going to make more pressure. So you get more benefits with less pressure, with less pain. So the recovery is faster. Nutritionists will be looking after you as well to ensure you eat the proper food to recover faster. Try to avoid junk food and things like that. And doctors oversee the whole process. And
is this a program that you can sign up for in a whole fashion, or can you a la carte as well?
So you can do a la carte, of course, because some people just go to this kind of center to get slimmer and everything. So at the beginning of the 20s, what happened is the spa discovered that more and more hotels were including a spa inside of their property. So the Thalasso Center start to think, oh, we have something we can work on. And they came with the idea of using some of the medical treatments apply to relaxation only. So that's why they came with the Thalasso Spa. So the idea is here, we do not have any nutritionist, doctors, or kinesiotherapists. We only have spa therapists that has been trained at certain protocol to bring you relaxation through the sea water. So it's really using the benefit of the sea water because your body is made of 70% of water. So the idea is to bring you back a balance between your body and nature. Today, we have a lot of French travelers. French travelers are very used to Thalasso Center, and they know that you can find a medical Thalasso Center or Thalasso Spa centers. So they are usually going to be familiar with it. Other nationalities?
Is that an attraction for the French vacationer?
In itself, it can be a destination on itself. Because guests here can buy a la carte treatments, but they can as well buy 3 days and 5 days packages with different type of treatment that are available. We have hydrobath, you can get massage under the water, you can get a body wrap when you are sleeping on the water, on the waterbed, with different type of cream and treatment that we apply on your body. So French are going to be used to it. Italian, Greece and Spain are as well more and more of this kind of treatment center, so they are naturally aware of it. But it's funny that the rest of the world usually is something that they discover. And it's very interesting the way that people are perceiving this, because sometimes guests will purchase a package and stay at our property because they have the nice view on the mountain and they see the size of the bungalow, the layout and everything. And when they got here, it's like, oh, by the way, what's the Thalasso Spa? And that's where we try to tell them, you know, the spa is 43,000 square feet, 14 treatment rooms and facilities that guests can enjoy before and after the stay. So we tell them that you can pamper yourself for a full day over there easily. We have a tea lounge where you can experience different type of tea that's going to bring you this whole relaxation and disconnection. For example, funny part is sometimes we have guests telling us, oh, why there is no internet in the spa? It's easy. If you want to go for a massage to get relaxed, you need to relax the body, but you really need as well to relax the mind, the brain. So if you are on Facebook or on your social media or doing emails, work emails, you are not really disconnecting, so the balance will not operate. So you need to get the massage for the body, but to disconnect your head for a few hours. So that's one of the reasons we intentionally didn't want to get internet into the spa.
What percentage of your occupancy traditionally is American?
At this property, you're 50%. 20% will be coming from Asia, and the rest will be coming from Europe.
Mm-hmm. But today, we're in a totally unique world like you've never experienced. We've never had to deal with these realities. How are you doing? How are you responding?
At the moment, we follow a very strict protocol for cleanliness. We are following the IG Clean Promise standards.
I just took my self-administered test about an hour ago.
Oh, so the way that French Polynesia has worked around the safety protocol, I think it's something that's reassuring for travelers and for locals. Because when we closed French Polynesia back in March until end of June, beginning of July, locals, half of them wanted to reopen the country to save the economy, and the other half was really scared, because what we know today of the COVID-19 is pretty much nothing. So people were scared for their whole family members that could be affected with it, and everything we can see on television and radio about how many people are sick around the world, it can be scary. So the government effectively work having this 3 days before you depart for French Polynesia, having to be tested, bring the result before boarding, and then when you arrive in French Polynesia, you are tested 4 days later. It's really reassuring and really making first guests feeling safe to travel, making our staff not being scared of talking with guests and being near guests. I think it's a win-win situation for everyone.
But one thing I have noticed, both on the island of Bora Bora and the Motu here, every employee that I've interacted with, very dialed in and concerned about safety protocols.
Yeah.
Every single one.
One of the points that we have educated them, if you clean your hand regularly, if you wear your mask, if you sanitize everything you touch.
And even how you enter the buffet line.
Absolutely.
And the flow and direction.
It was a big work for us because we are an hotel, we are not an hospital. My mother is a nurse, so it was funny to when I explained to her what we were doing to clean the property, she said like, oh, but you do more than an hospital. And I'm like, you know, mommy, when you go to an hospital, you expected it to be clean. You expected it to be sanitized. When you go to an hotel, you don't really know.
Right.
Because you don't know the protocol of an hotel. So effectively, we have, maybe with the different signage that we have, in phase, thing that we are cleaning to just reassure the guest as well, saying like, you know, we work with all the protocol from the World Health Organization, with IG, with the local clinic, and the different people who can help us.
It follows that there are things that you and people in the industry have learned going through this process that will stay with you after the COVID germ goes away.
Absolutely. It's
your protocol of housekeeping will forever change.
We will keep that protocol. We might go back, and I'm touching wood, that one day we will have find the vaccine and the treatment for that disease will probably become another flu like you can get every year, but we will have the treatment to take care of people. So effectively, the protocol for housekeeping will never change. Once we find a cure for the disease, the only thing I think will change is we might go back to more eco-friendly products, because at the moment we effectively use some of the products to sanitize. That might be a little aggressive, but just to ensure the safety, that's very important. We might go back to more eco-friendly product after. So I think that's the only thing that would change. Maybe the signage as well will be becoming a little less.
A little more friendly.
Exactly. Because at the moment, they have to be shown and very visible. But I think the world as well is used to it. So we start having people even not watching about the signage and just find hand sanitizer somewhere. They are starting to be educated around that, and we have a lot of guests as well come back to us saying like, you know, cleanliness and thing, it's very important. To give you an idea, 97% of our guests today find that they feel that their room is completely perfectly clean and that the protocol are very, very strict, and 97% is a great score. So
yeah.
It's
what a stellar honeymoon destination, right?
80% of our guests are coming for honeymoon at the
really?
Moment.
Yeah. 80%?
80%.
Wow.
Honeymoon and wedding anniversary.
Wow.
We start through the year to see a lot more people coming for regular travel, like vacation and thing. We start to see more and more repeaters as well. 11 years ago, if I had 1% of repeaters, it was a good thing. Today, I think we are reaching 6% of people who are coming back for vacation. We start
who
to
first
see
came on a honeymoon.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And come back with actually friends, family, or kids. It's quite funny. It's very interesting. Again, I've been so many years here. When I see guests coming back with the little ones that grew up a little bit, but still are coming back for an anniversary, and we start to have people saying like, "Oh, we were here 10 years ago for honeymoon, and we wanted to celebrate the 10th wedding anniversary back here because it's where we got married." Or we do about 15 to 20 weddings a month. So people want to come back for anniversary because they want to remember everything. And we, as we keep improving our hotel, because we don't want to stay the same that we were 11 years ago, so the garden start to get more flowers because we are on a motu, so it's a cold ground.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to give nutrients to the ground to be able to have all this grass and flowers around. It used to be just a white pure sand beach here in the past. So the hotel is changing a little bit. We improve, we listen to our guests because it's very important. We used to have a comment in the past saying like the bedroom is a little dark in the evening because it was a low lighting. For reading, it was not very nice. So we increased the level of lightness in the bedroom because it's something
guests
wanted.
Yeah, it looks like the reading lights were added.
Yeah.
And they are that real halogen, a very bright.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But it's important for us to listen what the guests are saying, because I can have my own idea of what's going on. Coming in French Polynesia, it's for some of the people a once-in-a-lifetime destination travel. For some other lucky, especially from the US where it's a short flight, to go home it takes me 32 hours to go to my family in the west coast of France.
Right.
So from the US effectively it's a little shorter trip, I will say. Even
I think
if
mine was like 8.5
yeah.
to San Francisco.
And to go back it will be 8.
Okay.
Because you are
tailwind
traveling back to the time. But we have a destination that's very safe. We have a destination with a very safe environment as well regarding the water, the lagoon, all the beauty you can discover with swimming with manta rays, sharks, and things. And we do not have any white sharks, so it's only little sharks. They are very nice to swim with, not dolphins, but French Polynesia has a lot to show, and it's not a massive destination as well. So that's what I like as well, is this little layback that guests can enjoy. And you have the impression, even if the hotel is full, so not at the moment, but when the hotel is full, we have 160 guests in the house. So having some at the spa, some on the island, some on the water, some in the villa, you always have the impression to be having the hotel for yourself. And it's really, if you want to disconnect a little bit for vacation, where you get away from the stress of life, from the anxiety and everything that's going on, it's good to be back with yourself and your loved ones or your family for a few days. And the nature of around it is going to be helping a lot.
For further information,
connect them to our website, for example, for the hotel itself. It's talasso.intercontinental.com. You can refer as well for information on anything related to COVID-19 to tahititourism.com. They have a section giving you all the steps that you need to follow to come over. It's very clear, very straightforward, what you need to do 3 days before when you are going to be in French Polynesia. There is little videos in English and French. My name is Christophe Modette, the Executive Assistant Manager at the Intercontinental Bora Bora Resort and Talasso Spa.
Thank you so much for spending the afternoon with me.
Pleasure. If you're enjoying your time, it's even better.
Ça va.
Ça va. Merci beaucoup.
My name is Antoine Torricella.
So here we are in French Polynesia, and we're at the Intercontinental on the Motu, looking at Bora Bora. And you are the sommelier here?
I'm the wine specialist and the assistant food and beverage director.
Are you involved in selecting wines?
Yes.
And what is your preference?
My preference, I love the Burgundy wine. And the Chardonnay, the white, very fresh, or the buttery wine.
Do you have a preference for French wines?
I have a preference for French wine, yes. And after you have here the local wine, for example, it's very interesting too. I think for me around the world, every part of the world, you have some very nice wine.
I was very surprised to learn that there's wine producing here in the Tahitian Islands.
Yeah, this wine is produced in Rangiroa on the Tuamotu Archipelago. And he made this wine, it's 20 years ago. You have 7 hectares, 3 different grapes. The variety of grape, it's Muscat, Carignan, and Italia.
And last night you and I had the rosé.
The rosé, yeah. Nacara, yes.
And that was great, yeah.
I love this wine because it's not the drier, not sweet. It's a very nice balance, and you have the coral on the final. It's perfect.
And it was interesting, had that kind of back palate pineapple flavor that just hummed along and didn't go away.
Yes.
Yeah.
A little salty, the pineapple, you have the goyava, it's very exotic.
But I must say, I was utterly surprised to learn that there are winemakers in Tahiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have just one winemaker, and it's a big challenge because it produced this wine on the Motu, and for the soil, for the terroir, it's very different, only sand and coral.
Has he ever submitted his wines to an international wine competition?
Yes.
He has, yeah.
Yes, because it's a two white, very interesting, one rosé, one dessert wine. And I think it's a nice level, and to compare around the world, it's a very nice wine. You buy this wine only in French Polynesia, you have a little in French, and in California, a little. It's very special selection.
And the name of his winery is?
It's Dominique Auroy for the winemaker. And
the label?
On the label, it's Les Empelis d'Assé. Les Empelis d'Assé, it's a very special name from the Rangiroa.
Very cool. What are you most passionate about and proud of in your work here at the resort? Is it teaching people about wine?
Yes, I love just explain the wine, see the smile with the customer. I love just échanger, just switch with the guest and explain. Mm-hmm. I have learned many times around the wine. Now I would like just offer with the old people.
Yeah. Are you able to do any wine and food pairing for people?
Yes. Yeah. Many times, and the guests call me only for hear the food and mm-hmm. would like a nice pairing. And after, with a small question, you have the perfect wine mm-hmm. for the guest. And after a few minutes, generally, the people just call me, and I would like this wine all time. Or he called me, or just send an email after this holiday, and just for remember the name of the wine he would like to buy around the world too. Mm-hmm. He have tried here, and for me it's a nice experience.
Okay, since I'm from California,
yeah,
your two or three favorite California wines.
California wine, I love Silver Oak from Napa Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Very
mm-hmm.
good. You have two different, Alexander Valley and Napa Valley. Napa Valley, the cab, beautiful. And I love some Camus too. You have a nice cab. The Chardonnay, more buttery. It's mm-hmm. a little great. It's very good too. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Antoine, for sharing. This has been great.
Pressure.
Yeah. Merci beaucoup.
Je vous en prie. Maruru.
Ça va.
My name is Shane, and I am from Texas. And over here is my wife, Janice.
Tell us how you wound up here. Have you been to Tahiti before?
We have not been here before. When we started dating, we were actually watching Couples Retreat. I mean, we weren't engaged yet or anything. We were just thinking, man, that's so beautiful. We should go there for our honeymoon. And then it just stuck. And so when we got engaged and started planning things, I have a travel agent friend from church. And so I'm like, hey, look us up some Bora Bora trips, and this is what she found for us and booked it, and we never looked back. Well, we did have rescheduled four times, which was actually great. When we rebooked the first time, since we didn't cancel, we got an extra 25% to use, so it got us a whole extra night.
Nice.
An upgrade on the room.
Nice.
So it is actually very beneficial.
Isn't it interesting traveling in the midst of the COVID world, in that
yes.
in some ways we're safer than we've ever been.
we actually were talking about that, because Amarillo, there's such a spike in Texas in general, but mm-hmm. especially in Amarillo where we live. We were talking about that before we left, that we're probably going to be a lot safer here for a week than we are at home.
Everybody tested negative for COVID to come here. So as soon as we got on the flight from Amarillo to Dallas and then Dallas to L.A., once we hit L.A. and we booked ourselves on this Tahiti airline, I felt safer than ever, you know, and the precautions on the plane was amazing.
I don't know how long you guys have been here, but I just took my self-test COVID and turned it in today.
We don't have to take ours until today's the 18th, correct?
18th or 19th, I can't remember.
I think it's the 18th, and when they issued that to us, mm-hmm. you know, the COVID test itself was brutal for me.
Yeah,
I've got allergies,
fun.
And that thing going up my nose and then twisting... Felt like somebody was taking an ice pick, but...
Now you get to do it yourself.
Well, I'm just hoping maybe I'll be generous to myself.
Be kind.
Be kind to myself. Yeah. So, yeah, we, with work back in Texas, we have to do the oral swabs,
mm-hmm.
which is nothing. It's
right.
up in your gums, it's underneath your tongue, on your tongue. That's easy. I'd never had to take the one up the nose. It changes the aspect of me wanting to take another COVID
yeah.
test.
Yeah. Well, this one that you're taking tomorrow is a two-phase. You do the oral and the nasal.
Yeah, that's what they explained to us, and I even looked at Janice, and I was like, that's not going very far up my nose when it comes to it. I feel like I'm probably negative because I've been around it through
right.
work. Both of my boys had COVID. You know, they're 21 and 18 years old, so they both had it. Both of them had very slight symptoms, mm-hmm. and I'm healthy. I don't have any underlying issues. I'm not real worried about it, to be yeah. honest with you.
Back to paradise.
Yes.
Is this your first tropical trip getaway for you two?
Together, mm-hmm. for us, it is our first tropical getaway, because we had dated for about a year and a half and got married. We just got married in May. We're supposed to come on this vacation in June, again in August, and then finally made it September and now November. So this is our first tropical getaway together, yes.
Okay, so here you are. You've been on the ground, what, 4 days?
Less than that. We
yep.
got here Saturday.
The day before yesterday. We just got here Saturday.
We got here Saturday morning.
Okay. What's your thinking, dreaming going forward on a reprise trip to paradise? Would you?
I have mentioned wanting to come back. Mm-hmm. where she has been like, this is like a once in a lifetime expensive trip, because you can take trips to destinations similar, maybe not Bora Bora. I mean, I don't know if you've been to Cozumel, Mexico before,
sure.
But the water's almost identical. And, you know, it's all inclusive. So I can drink and eat for free. And plus, the price is cheaper anyways. Yes, it's in the back of our head mm-hmm. to come back. I will not lie.
So somebody gave you a present of a getaway, you'd be here in a sec.
If someone gave us a present, yes. But when you're paying for it yourself. And I mean, and we did splurge. He has two kids. I did not have kids. And I've got a good job, but I've saved up. And anytime I wanted to go somewhere, my friends were either moms and couldn't go or single and couldn't afford it. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of saved thinking, well, one of these days. And so I decided there's never a better time to splurge than this. And so,
and like we talked about earlier, the bonus is this incredible chance to have a resort to yourself.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I prefer it. I prefer it. I love it this way.
Without her, we couldn't have made this trip.
Right.
I've got a 21-year-old that is pretty much on his own, but my 18-year-old's going to college, and guess who's paying for it? So I have no savings. Paycheck to paycheck right now, where she has done a phenomenal job in her life of learning how to save money. She's a very frugal person. She splurged a little bit on this, but that's why she says splurge. It is splurge. You know, we do take trips, but this one's the ultimate.
And that's really what I would recommend to anybody, is this is a special occasion. Anniversary or some specialness.
Honeymoon.
Yeah, where it's, oh yeah, that's off the scale.
Yeah, delayed honeymoon at that.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing, you guys.
You bet.
This
Not a problem
been
at
great.
All.
I'm Tom Wilmer reporting from the island of Bora Bora in paradise. We'll see you here.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. Funding for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Hawaiian Legacy Reforestation Initiative.
Hawaiian Legacy Hardwoods and Four Seasons Resort invite you to sponsor a legacy tree and contribute to the biodiversity of Hawaii. Legacy trees can honor an individual, commemorate an event, or memorialize a loved one. Every tree dedication is a living legacy and a gift which grows grander year after year. The best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. The second best time is now.